in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna, certified health consultant and co-founder of naturopathicearth.com. Thank you for joining us for another podcast of Naturopathic Earth. We really do appreciate you coming back and listening to us. Today, we're going to cover prebiotics. In the previous podcast, we had talked about probiotics. Now, a lot of people get these mixed up because, of course, they do sound very similar. So I wanted to do a basic review of what probiotics are, because to properly discuss prebiotics, we need to talk about probiotics first. So before we begin, please go to my website, www.naturopathicearth.com. That's N-A-T-U-R-O, naturopathicearth.com. And peruse my articles. Most of them deal with nutrition and exercise and toxins that are found around the house. I'd appreciate you go to the website. Also, I have a start page, a landing page for health coaching. I was a formerly overweight child. I think most of you who are listening to this podcast right now probably listened to my confessions of an obese child. And you know that I was formerly overweight and I was able to lose my weight. And at my apex, I was about 270 pounds. When I was about 15, 14 years old, and I was able to successfully lose the weight and maintain my weight for about 25 years, a quarter of a century. So I know what I'm doing here. So if any of you really want to lose weight and you've tried everything, or you're balking on maybe doing gastric bypass surgery because there are a lot of issues that you have to deal with post-surgery, please give me a contact, shoot me an email, reach out to me, and we can talk. If you feel you're not ready for that, I understand completely. Just review my articles and find me on Twitter. You can find me at Naturopath Earth, at Naturopath Earth. So let's begin. So I had mentioned in the previous podcast how probiotics are good bacteria, and we get probiotics typically from our mother when we're born, especially if you're born vaginally. And we also get this bacteria just from being around Earth. This goes back to our Paleolithic ancestors who were scraping around in the dirt all the time. So we are covered in bacteria and fungus. Estimates somewhere in the trillions. Trillions. It's really hard, of course, to know at a given moment. But we have trillions of bacteria and fungus on our skin, in our orifices, and of course in our gut. There's a constant struggle between the probiotic bacteria and our immune system on one side. These are the good guys. And we have the pathogenic or bad bacteria and viruses on the other side. And so there's this constant homeostasis that we try to maintain, in which there's a preponderance of the good guys. And when that is happening, we are not sick. And when the preponderance is on the bad guys, we are ill, and of course, it's manifested in whatever malady that's afflicted us. So the goal is prevention. The goal is not it's flu season and it's time to get the flu shot. Now, this is not the podcast to discuss vaccination, the vaccination debate, but I do lament at the fact that so many people just automatically line up like sheeple to take the flu shot and think, and if they don't get the flu, they think it's because of the flu shot, you know. And if they do get the flu, it's, oh, well, I guess it wasn't the right strand. How about we practice a little prophylaxis and just strengthen our immune system to the best of its ability? This is one of the reoccurring themes of Naturopathic Earth, is use nature, use gods or the higher beings' built-in defense mechanisms, our immune system, and then use herbs and homeopathy and essential oils and all these things first. So let's just be very preventative of illness and get the sunlight, sleep well, eat well. Take your vitamin C, take your vitamin D, lower your stress, get that cortisol down. These are all very important things to do to keep ourselves strong and our immune system strong so we don't get sick. And one of the things that we can do is eat probiotic or fermented food. I mentioned in the previous podcast what they are, but really quickly, probably the most inexpensive way to find probiotic food is going to be Greek yogurt, sauerkraut, kefir, which is a Turkish yogurt drink, dark chocolate, certain cheeses, old school milk before we pasteurized it. And of course, kombucha, which is growing in popularity. That's fermented black tea. I've mentioned that I do enjoy kombucha. I honestly am in pure candor. I wish it was a little cheaper. But my four-year-old daughter loves it. And actually now my two-year-old son is actually drinking it, which is great. It's great to see that. But definitely Greek yogurt would probably be the way to go. So we want this balance to be in place. The ideal way is to increase your prebiotics. And the way this works is our good bacteria will grow naturally if we feed it foods that will allow it to grow naturally and be conducive to reproduction. So when we are ill, for example, we can eat a lot more probiotic or fermented or bacteria and fungus-laden food like kombucha, Greek yogurt, or whatnot. But normally those servings are very small. They might have a few million bacteria in it. And if it's not well packaged, it's probably a lot smaller. You know, similar to vitamins and supplements that are not regulated by the FDA, essentially a bottle of kombucha can say it has 3 billion CFUs, but we really don't know. It'll say 3 billion CFUs at the time of packaging. But during the handling, especially if it's not refrigerated, it could lose a lot of that punch. So probiotic food, there are some problems to it. The pills, for example, can be very expensive, and they could be lying to us. There's nothing in the law that prevents companies from making up or at least embellishing the truth. So when you're taking a pill with 40 million CFUs or whatnot, maybe it does, maybe it has 2 million, maybe it has none. So the best way to grow the bacteria that's already residing in our gut, helping us digest food and absorb it, is to increase the prebiotic foods. So today's podcast is going to talk about that. So where do we get probiotic foods? Well, a lot of these are going to be where you expect, and I kind of teased it in the previous podcast. It's going to be a lot of fruits and vegetables, clearly. And this is one of the many hundreds of reasons that we should be eating fruits and vegetables, especially the vegetables or high ORAC or high antioxidant fruits. So the main cheapest area or cheapest vegetable that you can get prebiotics is going to be onions. Onions, ideally raw, but onions in any way would be a great source of prebiotics, or what we call resistant starch. So that's one source. Another source is going to be garlic. Garlic in itself is a natural antibiotic and antimicrobial agent. So when you're sick or when you feel like you're coming down with something, I normally pop in some garlic pills. One of my favorite foods, guys, is Middle Eastern food. I love Middle Eastern food, Persian food. And I love getting chicken shawarma. And I love getting it with some garlic aioli. And there's a place I go to here in town that makes this incredible. It's like a garlic mayonnaise, essentially. And I just eat that up like there's no tomorrow. Unfortunately, my bad breath afterwards is a casualty of that. But hey, that's why we have saliva, right? Saliva is a natural breath freshener. And then of course, I can pull some oils if I need to. So definitely eat onions. That's another place where you can go. Dandelion greens, you know, that's a little more obscure. You can go that way as well. You can do some asparagus, some artichokes, if you like artichokes. I really don't eat a lot of artichokes, to be honest, guys. You know, it's kind of strange. I kind of eat the same foods every day, probably just because out of routine. It's just easier when I go to school to take the same food. So I eat a lot of berries and nuts and hummus with tabbouleh salad and dark chocolate. But artichokes, I can't think of the last time I had artichoke. It's been some time. It's been some time. But probably the best place to get it is going to be unripened bananas. Now, bananas are very cheap, extremely cheap. You can buy them 49 cents a pound down here in Texas. The key is to get them when they're green. So when they're unripened, and you, all of you guys know unripened bananas, you know, you peel them and the skin kind of adheres to the actual, you know, pulp of the fruit, the actual fruit itself, and it's hard to peel it off and doesn't have that sweet taste. Yes, but at that point, my friends, it is prebiotic. And also in terms of sugar, it only has about 6 grams of sugar when you eat a unripened green banana, as opposed to a really fully ripened banana, which could be around 20 grams of sugar. So you're looking at 3 times the amount of sugar when you go to yellow over green. So what I like to do is I like to get the green bananas and I throw them in my smoothies. I try to make a daily smoothie. I do have our smoothie recipe on the website. You can check that out. But I do like to put in some green bananas and some blueberries and Greek yogurt and whatnot, coconut milk. And that's typically the way I get my green bananas in because, I have to admit they're not the best tasting thing. So going back really, really quickly, like what's resistant starch? So resistant starch is really kind of the creme de la creme of prebiotic food. So unlike, let's say, regular starchy foods like potatoes and rice, resistant starches are not digested by the body and therefore can't be converted into glucose. And we know typically when you consume starchy foods like pastas and rice and potatoes and whatnot, it's going to initiate the insulin response, which is something that we're trying to mitigate as much as possible. But resistant starch foods like green bananas and asparagus and onions, all these prebiotic foods are not ingested by the body. So they go through your GI tract. And then the probiotic bacteria, the actual bacteria down there, is going to convert them into short-chain fatty acids. And then later they're converted into butyrate, which is the main fuel for the cells, our gut cells. So there's a lot of studies showing that eating resistant starch or prebiotic food helps lower fat. It increases satiety, so you feel full quicker, so you're not going to overeat. Increases muscle mass and it promotes better sleep. And the best thing, it's not going to initiate the insulin response that is so typical of eating, you know, the typical standard American diet starchy food. So those are some other things. It does help with the treatment of urinary tract infections or UTIs. And it can reduce the risk of heart disease. There's some studies showing that. So there's a lot of good reasons to go resistant starch. So the cheapest route is going to be green bananas, but there's a couple other things you can do. You can buy some resistant starch flours, like potato starch. You can go that way. You can do plantain or green banana flours. If you want to use those for cooking, you can do tapioca starch. These are kind of fruity items, but you can find them at your bigger grocery chains or the Whole Paychecks. But probably another good route is just, and this is something that you might not have heard of, is cooked and cool potatoes and rice. So what you can do is cook your, you know, make your mashed potatoes or cook your rice. And then what happens is when you cool it down, there's something in the cooling of it down changes the chemical composition of them from being regular starch to resistant starch. And so I know it doesn't sound too palatable to be eating cold mashed potatoes and cold rice, but maybe you can develop a taste for it later on. So it is possible to get your regular rice. You know, we always hear about how brown rice or long grain brown rice is the best one because it's not simple carbs like white rice. But this is another option, is just cook your big vat of rice and then just cool it down and eat it cold. Eat it cold. So cooked and cooled potatoes, rice, beans, lentils, that and the green bananas are probably the easiest ways to improve your resistant starch or your prebiotic levels, which again will naturally multiply your probiotic bacteria. So yes, I would absolutely recommend that you do both. Try to eat a serving or two of probiotic fermented foods like Greek yogurt, every day, but also try to eat prebiotic foods. Now, most vegetables are going to be prebiotic on one level or another, but the ones that I've mentioned in this podcast are the ideal ones. So consume a lot of onions and garlic, eat a lot of unripened green bananas, and you're going to feel better. You're going to feel better. So that's the end of today's podcast on prebiotics. Please reach out to me, find me on the Twitter sphere, contact me on my website, www.naturopathicearth.com. And please, we would appreciate a review on iTunes. And until we meet again, take care. God bless.
Thanks for listening to Naturopathic Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth. And subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.